So a little bit about myself. I'm a public health physician from Singapore, and like Rose, I've gotten my public health postgraduate education in Johns Hopkins, and I'm currently working as a research fellow at the Edinburgh School for Communication in UPenn with the Centre of Excellence for Cancer Communication and Research. So this work arose from my work with the Health Promotion Board. In the last 4 years, I served as a medical officer with the Health Promotion Board. It's a national agency that does health education and health promotion programs in Singapore. And before I begin, I wish to. Yes? Is it too soft? Sure. You had a problem too?
No, you have to just.
Okay, can you hear me properly?
Yeah, for sure.
That's good?
Sorry.
No problem. So before I begin, I wish to thank all my co-authors from the Health Promotion Board for helping me to make this presentation the way it is today. Okay.
I think they're taped down.
Yeah, it's for the recording. Is this better?
Can you hear? Back in the back there, can you hear? Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, I have nothing to disclose. So a little bit about Singapore. For those of you who have visited our city-state, Singapore is a tiny island state of about 4 million people, roughly the size of 3.5 times of Washington, D.C. In Southeast Asia, we're right on the equator. And we have very high levels of literacy and good healthcare status. But we face a lot of problems too, just like in the U.S. The major causes of mortality in Singapore are cancer, heart disease and hypertensive diseases, and cerebral vascular disease being the third most common causes of death. We have about 1 in 4 Singaporeans, that's about 1 million people, have at least one chronic disease, such as hypertension, hypercholesterolemia, diabetes, and stroke. And the most common chronic disease conditions that we face in Singapore are very similar to here, hypertension, and in particular diabetes, which is slowly increasing as well. So with that in mind, the Ministry of Health and the Health Promotion Board created a new program, the Chronic Disease Management Program, which aimed to educate patients with chronic diseases towards maintaining self-care and to coordinate their disease management with their primary care physicians. And as part of this chronic disease management program, the Health Promotion Board launched a patient education folder, which was distributed at various primary care locations, private and public, to be given to the patients. And the intention for this was for physicians to use this folder to educate the patients towards maintaining self-care. And the four conditions that were covered within this folder included diabetes, high blood pressure or hypertension, lipid disorders, and stroke. So within this folder, there were three different booklets. The first booklet was actually an education booklet, which included information about each disease, what were the risk factors, how they could manage their condition if they already had it, and what were some of the things that they could look out for in self-care. So these are some sample pages from the booklet. I apologize, I should have brought a sample to circulate around. And another booklet that was within this folder was also a record book where patients were encouraged to keep a record of some of their biological markers to monitor the progress of their disease. So some of the things that they were encouraged to record were their weight, HbA1c levels or hypo count or blood glucose levels if they were diabetics. Okay, so for the purpose of this study, we wanted to find out, do physicians in private and public practice actually use these folders in their education for their patient? And also to evaluate whether patients who have chronic diseases are getting these folders and whether they are using it. So we actually conducted three separate studies. I won't go into the detailed methodologies for each. So we did a physician survey amongst 518 general practitioners in over 700 clinics. And we did a focus group discussion amongst patients with different chronic diseases and also a population-based survey with about 189 respondents from a national survey who have at least one chronic disease. So moving on to the physician survey first, we have a good mix of physicians who are solo practitioners as well as in partnerships or in medical groups. The majority of 53% of the clinics have one doctor, which is basically what I was talking about, the solo practice. And about 7 in 10 of them are 49 years and below. So these are fairly young physicians. So we asked the question whether they felt that the patient education folder was relevant to their practice. And the majority of them felt that the education material within the folder were useful for their patients as a whole. And most of them also felt that the Be In Charge booklet, which was the education booklet for each of the diseases, was very useful or useful. About 8 in 10 of them felt that the record book was useful for their practice. And we asked the question, who in their clinic or in their practice distributes the folders to their patients? So the majority of the doctors who did it distributed it to their patients themselves. Some of them had the help of a nurse or a clinic assistant. And about 15% of the physicians who were surveyed said that they didn't distribute the folder. So we were interested in finding out why is it that the patient education folder wasn't distributed amongst the people who didn't distribute it to their patients. So the main reasons that the doctors gave were they didn't have a lot of patients with chronic diseases, number one. Number two, patients were just not interested, or there were some challenges in terms of the literacy and education level of the patients. Amongst the physicians who gave the booklets to their patients, we asked them whether they routinely use the booklets to educate their patients about self-care, and only 44% of them said yes. 56, the rest said seldom or not at all. So the interesting question was, for physicians who seldom or do not use the booklets for patient education, why so? And the main reasons were they felt that they would like to pass on the knowledge verbally to their patients rather than through the education booklet. Secondly, they had some of their own materials to educate their patients. And third reason was that it was very time consuming to go through the entire booklet. For those that did use the folder for patient education, we asked them what do they use the folder for. And the main topics that they cover with their patients were to manage their condition through healthy lifestyles like diet, physical activity, and so on. The second main topic were to cover the potential complications if their diseases were uncontrolled. And the third main topic was to teach food care amongst diabetics. We also ask an open-ended question. So what would you like to include in the health folder, in the health education folder, to benefit your patients with chronic diseases? And they suggested three content improvements, which were to include more diet-related details, like the type of food to consume for each chronic disease, more information on medication and costs, and some information on nutrients and caloric values of the local foods which were available in Singapore. They also suggested some format changes, like making use of more simplified languages for the patients, making the book smaller in size and more portable, and having more graphical illustrations or photographs. And I would like to move on now to the focus group discussions amongst the small group of patients with at least one chronic disease. We asked patients within the focus groups, how did they receive the folders? And most of them replied that they received it when they were applying to use their MediSave, which is a health savings account in Singapore, for payment of their chronic disease bills. And secondly, the patients noted that they were given minimal information when they received the materials. Did they find the folder useful? The majority of patients felt that the information was too basic and they wanted further in-depth information about each condition. So that was one challenge because we had four conditions which we wanted to fit into that book. Few patients used the record book because they felt that some of the portions were not relevant for them, or they were already using some other forms of recording. We asked them what motivated them to use the folder. They felt that the response was they would use the folder if they were given an explanation of the materials by their healthcare provider, a nurse or a doctor, if they perceived that their condition was very severe, and if they perceived that using the booklet will give them additional benefits to maintaining or managing their health condition, and if there was increased convenience compared to printing the record sheets. And some of the barriers for using the information booklets and the record booklet were literacy levels in some of the patients which were interviewed. And if they believe that they already have the necessary knowledge, they will not be so motivated to use the booklets. And for the record booklet, they also noted that lack of supervision by their healthcare provider was one major barrier. Okay, I move on now to the population-based survey amongst 189 patients who have at least one chronic disease. So amongst these patients with chronic diseases, only 19 of them actually responded that they received the patient education folder. So this was a nationally representative sample of people with chronic diseases, and only 19 out of 189, which is about 10%, have access to this folder. The reach is not very high. I would just like to make a note that the survey was conducted about 3 to 4 months after the launch of the folder, so we may not have the chance to have a full penetration of the folder amongst the entire population. And of the people who actually received the folder, 11 of them did not use the folder to monitor their condition, and 8 of them did. So the usage rate is actually not very ideal as well. So in summary, we found that the majority of GPs felt that the patient education folder was useful. A smaller proportion actually distributed it to their patients, and less than half of GPs who did distribute the folder used it for patient education. We found that the reach and the usage of the patient education folder in the general populations were low. And we also discovered several barriers to using the booklets amongst patients with chronic diseases. So what is the follow-up to our findings? In HBB, we conducted several dialogue sessions with general practitioners to encourage them to disseminate the folder to improve the reach to patients with chronic diseases. GPs were also encouraged to motivate their patients to use the education materials for self-management. And to complement the general practitioners who may have very limited time or face time with their patients, we started the program of the nurse health educator programs to complement the GPs to help them in educating patients for self-care. And finally, increasing the distribution channels and providing more in-depth information on chronic diseases and their management in a separate booklet for patients who need them. So with that, I thank you for your attention. And do we have time for questions?
We're going to take
questions. We're going to take the questions later. Sure. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Dr. Tan. How are you all doing out there? It's fine? Okay, good. Thanks so much. I think it would be very interesting in the discussion to talk about the Health Promotion Board and how they took the results of this, and, you know, are they moving forward and utilizing the results? And I'd like to know how the Health Promotion Board planned all of this. So I hope we get a chance to discuss it in the discussion. Our next presenter is Dr. Raymond Asghari, and he is going to speak on chronic diseases in a war-torn state. And this is Abkhazia, And it is a state that is in the former Soviet Union, and I'll ask him to both present himself and his paper. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for coming here. Ramin Asghari, I'm assistant professor of clinical public health and clinical medicine at Mount Sinai School of Medicine. That's in New York. Graduate from
Mount Sinai.
I have been in Montefiore before. And graduate yes, I am a graduate of social medicine at Montefiore. So.
Okay.
And did refugee health at Columbia University and the tropical medicine Johns Hopkins. So I worked many years with Medicine Sans Frontières, or Doctors Without Borders, and Doctors of the World. And one of the missions that I was in Abkhazia. Abkhazia is not recognized as a country, but it's a country, has a president, and is a part of Georgia, not the state of Georgia, the country of Georgia, obviously. And I guess that you already heard about Georgia. There is some issues in Georgia, in Ossetia, South Ossetia, and North Ossetia. So Abkhazia was the same thing back in 1993. So the country really has, is it coming up or I have to do it? Presentation?
I think you have to.
Next?
Other?